This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning. You're listening to Pressing Matters right now, the show that goes behind the headlines to speak with members of the press about issues that matter to them. I'm Lynn Mark, and today I have with me on the line Gayathri Venkateswaran, the National Co-Coordinator for the Global Media Monitoring Project, which is one of the largest studies on gender in the world's media. Thank you very much for joining us this morning, Gayathri.
Thank you very much for the invitation, Lynn, and happy International Women's Day.
Yes, belated indeed.
Yeah, belated, yes.
So let's just start off with a little bit of a look at the project itself. How long have you been running, and how would you categorize the data that you've so far collected on the portrayal of women in the media here?
So I've just come on board this year, but this monitoring project has been going on since 2000. So a very quick background to that, it is something that came out of the 1995 Beijing Platform for Action, which focused on governments as well as civil society and private sector initiatives towards gender equality. And one of the 12 key areas that was really, really crucial that you needed to have interventions was on media. So it's under Section J, so it's one of the items very specifically on how in terms of equality of the representation of women, but also women's participation in all forms of media. So as a result of that, women's groups have actually begun to look at how women in the media, in terms of their representation, in terms of whether they hold key positions, because that's actually all very important indicators. Mm-hmm. So the first round of monitoring started in 2000. A lot of people think, wait, there's a lot of women, so many women in the media, so it must be fine. There must be equality. In fact, sometimes there are more women than men. But when you begin to actually break down the numbers and analyze them deeper, then you see that the disparities reflect the disparities in society. It provides such good data for us to think about how we want to take action. So now it's the fifth cycle. So this year will be the fifth global monitoring. It began with a few countries. Now there are more than 130, 140 countries, maybe even more, that have come on board. And so the monitoring actually looks at national levels, because we do have different backgrounds and contexts. But yes, then they all pull together at the global level to show whether there have been any improvements in those areas, representation and also participation.
So in terms of methodology, how does the GMMP go about conducting this research into both portrayal of women in the media and women's representation in the media?
So it's both qualitative and quantitative, in the sense that we look at numbers. Numbers do tell us some stories, even though it's not the entire story. It's done on a particular day globally, sort of a random day, so that to understand what actually happens in newsrooms when making decisions about who to write about, who to call, who's on duty, how are photographs placed, how are experts sort of brought in, what are the day-to-day decision-making that takes place, which actually tells a lot, yeah, about how society views the kind of roles that men and women play in that particular society. So we do look at stories that are selected from a range of media outlets. So we do have the legacy ones, newspapers, television, radio, and then of course now with the internet and also social media. So they tell us how to select given the size of the country, the availability of media. And then we choose stories from the news. And from there, we look at certain indicators. We also, in fact, look at who the journalists are and what kinds of stories they write. So where we can tell, we want to establish whether there's a tendency, for example, for women journalists to only cover certain stories or not. What is the difference there? In some cases, that doesn't make a difference, but in some cases, it does. And then when it comes to crime stories, how are victims, perpetrators, survivors, how are they also portrayed? That's a very big area. And to establish whether they're stereotypes, whether the stereotypes have been challenged, and that's where the qualitative aspect comes in. We look at some stories in more detail to see were there opportunities to break some of the stereotypes, and how did that particular media deal with it?
That's actually very interesting, Gayathri. Yeah. The segments that you mentioned, kind of crime reporting versus, I assume, perhaps business reporting or lifestyle reporting or even political reporting. So perhaps you could set the stage for us a little bit. How does Malaysia, the Malaysian media, do in portraying women across these different segments of reporting?
Okay, so we do find that over the years, there is a tendency for female reporters to cover a lot more of what you would say as the safe stories, or more human interest stories, education stories, compared to political stories. So it appears as though there are more journalists who cover political stories. But when you actually do the analysis, you find that there is a tendency to have women cover, I mean, this is not the best term, but sort of the softer stories, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes we wonder whether that is, you know, we do need to analyze further, but we don't know to what extent it is the choices of the women themselves or the assignments and the expectations already given the newsroom structures.
Of course.
So there is, yeah, so that disparity is quite obvious. And then, of course, in terms of the subjects or people who are interviewed, it is very clear that men outnumber women when it comes to experts, sort of the kind of authoritative voices that we would say. And when you do have women, they tend to be always associated with their family relationships. So they're always somebody's wife, somebody's mother, you know. she's a great CEO, but, you know, she's so great in taking care of all of her kids, you know. That family reference does not leave that even a successful woman. Or where they are, or where women are portrayed in a sort of as a victim, yeah. So they don't escape that kind of modes or, you know, representation. So
of constantly of being associated with a family or a victim narrative. Yeah, I guess the immediate example that jumps to mind is whenever you have a female CEO, for example, there is always the question of, yes, you are a high-powered CEO, but what have you also sacrificed in terms of your family life, a.k.a. where have you failed in this regard?
Exactly. So, you know, that hasn't changed significantly over the years. You might have the numbers go one or, you know, one percentage up or down, but we're not really seeing the kind of significant change that we should really. Yeah.
And how do we compare to other countries, perhaps in the region and worldwide?
Well, the global report shows that that this is indeed a concern for everybody. So it is not something that only Malaysia experiences. So not great in that sense, but it shows that even in some of the more, even in societies where gender equality has been a lot more stronger, there are still gaps. So we, at least in terms of the global project itself, they find that, you know, there can still be a lot of improvements. But if I may just share some results. So, for example, you know, in 2010, you know, less than 25% women in this is global coverage, yeah. And then in terms of newsmakers, women were generally underrepresented in professional categories, that means experts. And the global report actually found that the sex of the journalist made a difference whether or not women made the news. So in fact, by having more women, it's also one way of trying to get this idea that you need to also think about how women's voices matter in given stories. So while I say, yeah, there are a lot of journalists, women journalists, I don't mean that they don't bring in a certain value, but, you know, it does actually help to a large extent say that I can bring in a different perspective, and that would include bringing in women's voices into the story. So it is important to keep bringing up that point that, yes, we need more women because women can also think about different perspectives, but we're still quite far down in terms of how we are represented in the media.
We're going to be talking a little bit more specifically about women's representation across media organisations in just a bit. I'm speaking with Gayathri Venkateswaran, National Co-Coordinator for the Global Media Monitoring Project, which looks at the intersection between gender and the media. Be sure to stay tuned here for Pressing Matters, BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, you're listening to Pressing Matters, the show where we go behind behind the headlines and speak to members of the press about their stories. And this morning, I have with me on the line Gayathri Venkateswaran, the National Co-Coordinator for the Global Media Monitoring Project, which looks at the intersection between gender and the media. Now, Gayathri, earlier we were talking about the portrayal of women in the media and how we do here in Malaysia. But I'd also like to look specifically into the media organizations themselves. You know, how do we do when it comes to the spread of men and women and their representation in our Malaysian media organizations?
Yeah, that's a tough one, only because the media is such a, you know, the landscape is really quite big. And what we know, we tend to focus on the big names, right? So, and the big names, if they're public listed, is great, because at least the reporting requirements to the Securities Commission, you know, mandate them to report on the breakdown based on gender of their employees, and also to report on the corporate structure, so corporate governance structure. So, which means that media companies that are publicly listed, like Astro, Star, Media Prima, Media Chinese, which Chinese International Limited that owns Sinchu, in the past Utusan. So you actually have that data to show what is the breakdown. And as far as employees are concerned, you know, it ranges from anywhere between 39% to 61%. So in terms of percentage of female employees. But when you start looking at the top echelons, number of women on the board, you know, for example, the Star had 1 out of 9 who was a woman. Utusan, when it was still a public listed company, 1 out of 8. Sinchu Media Corporation, 1 out of 9. So we're talking about very, very small representation. And in terms of management, so now it's below the sort of board of directors, you get 3 out of 14, 4 out of 9, 4 out of 8. So it's not even meeting 50%. And then when you look at newsrooms, the ones holding positions as executive editors, you get exceptions. But the thing is, we've been dealing with exceptions for far too long. It is not the norm. So you often come back again and see that the top management is still men rather than women. Somebody will say, hey, but look at the Star or look at somebody else. But that's it, you know. Then you stop. It doesn't even fill your one hand in that sense.
But when it comes to this shortage of women in these leadership positions within within the organizations themselves, do we know the reason for it?
Yeah, I think actually, you know, the report by Kazana Research Institute from 2018 is actually quite telling and applies very well to the media industry as well, because this is we're talking about employment. You know, it might be a different product that we're coming up with. This is news or entertainment. But the factors remain the same. A lot of women do have the challenges of, you know, once they have families, they often bear most of the burden of the sort of care, right? And it applies also for women in the news. So we do see many of them in the front line, but it also means that they are also coping with a lot of other expectations. At home and with the families. So sometimes the reasons for not being able to take on more roles is because these are things that they have to fulfill. And it's very rare to find journalists who said that, well, their partners take on equal responsibilities. Again, it's an exception. You might find a few. But typically, a lot of women take on roles of as caregivers, mm-hmm. and give up that additional responsibilities, for example, being senior reporters or assistant news editors, if they already have those responsibilities. Again, you will find exceptions, and I'm not saying that it happens to everyone, but the environment is not enabling enough for any woman who decides that they want to actually take on more responsibilities to be able to do so. So this is one of the big areas, and the Kazana Research Institute report really tells, you know, that you kind of drop out for a while, because of that caregiving function, then you come back, but then you have lost quite a bit of that advantage compared to your male peers in that sense. So this happens also in this industry, and it's a tough one. You're in the front line, you know, the hours are crazy. There's also many experiences of harassment coming from colleagues, coming from your sources, So you're dealing with quite a lot of pressures as well.
Mm.
And many people leave because it's unsustainable, yeah, because it's also very challenging in that sense.
Yeah.
So these are among the issues that came up in a number of interviews that we've done, myself and also with some of the others, trying to understand what are the barriers. And I think it's been discussed quite a bit by some of the media groups as well as, you know, challenges to women being in the media industry.
Yeah, and to build off of, you know, harassment, which was the point that you raised, I wondered how violence against the press plays into it, because that's also a very real concern whenever you are a frontline journalist, whether or not you will find yourself, particularly if you work a crime beat, for example, whether you will find yourself in a position where you may be at threat. And is violence against press something that that the GMMP looks at, and whether or not it disproportionately affects female journalists rather than male journalists?
So the GMMP specifically does not look at violence against journalists. What it does is it looks at how crime is reported.
Mm.
So it's a function of the reporter. But the subject of violence against journalists is something that many other groups take on and have advocated. And I actually really want to, you know, I'm really glad you asked that question, because I think that a lot of people feel, well, Malaysia is far more stable. You don't find a lot of reports of this kind of outright violence that occurs in many other countries. But I do want people to understand that violence comes in many, many forms, yeah? And women journalists who are out there in the field, they may not be beaten, but the level of sexual harassment, the innuendos that are passed on, the sort of tech-based harassment that can happen, which means, you know, receiving, you know, the kind of lewd messaging, you know, all of this by your sources and by people in authority, and where your options are limited. If you don't tolerate it, you don't get the scoop, you don't get the access to cover something, you know. So actually women are facing a lot of this, but they take it on as part of the job, or they are not aware of where they can go for remedies. So let's not only think about the kind of physical violence, because that mm-hmm. can happen. And we have seen female journalists actually being at the heart of some very, unruly behavior by people in the crowd, for example, assistants and bodyguards of ministers and the likes, you know. And in addition to that, they are specifically women-targeted forms of harassment, bullying, and intimidation that are also very, very serious. So the GMP doesn't document this, but because this is actually being documented by other groups that actually really monitor this quite regularly. So in the case of Malaysia, I think we've seen some reports come out, and I think we must take it seriously how sources can be a major source of, you know, challenge for women in the field.
Now, Gayathri, you've made mention of the fact that this is another cycle. So 2020 is another year in which the GMMP will be conducting research into the portrayal of women in media and women's representation. What are your expectations from this research cycle?
So, again, for Malaysia, we've seen very, very small changes. I hope that we have at least some more positive reporting to share with the media community, because I think the idea is not so much to sort of like point the fingers and say, oh, you know, you're doing a bad job or whatever, because I really do believe that there are many within the media who try to push the boundaries as much as they can and really try to respond to what changes are taking place in terms of social relations, political power, and the need for gender equality. So I do believe individual journalists and editors are really trying their best, and so they are working within these constraints. You are working within this constraint. So my expectation is really to say that I hope at least when we're doing it this year that some of these good work can be reflected. But if it isn't, because you know it's on a random day in that sense, I would hope that there is interest from the media community itself on what the gaps could be and to try and fix some of them. I think I'm more interested in trying to have that conversation with the media, regardless of what the data shows, right? The data is useful to give a picture, but we do know that some things fall in the cracks. We can't necessarily show that individual initiatives will be documented. So we don't want to ignore that. We don't want to downplay all of those things. So actually, my expectation is that there are opportunities for conversations really about this.
Well, thank you very much for having this conversation with me this morning, Gayathri. It's been a pleasure having you.
Thank you so much.
I've been speaking with Gayathri Venkateswaran, the National Co-Coordinator of the Global Media Monitoring Project. This has been Pressing Matters, and I'm Lynn Mark for The Morning Run, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.